Here to go. I want you to, you know, I want you to talk about this. I go, oh my God, you really don't. But I'm going to cover something today that I haven't covered in a long time, because I think I'm right now in the present moment, I'm attracting a lot of people into my classes who have reached their limit in some area. My classes are for the people who have had it. If you haven't had it, you're not going to be entertained. You're not going to like it. You're going to think it's asking for you to do outrageous things you don't want to do. But when you've had it, you're totally open to anything. You're like, yeah, I don't care what it is, I do it. What, hop up and down like a rabbit and squawk, I don't care. I want out of it. If that's what it'll take, I'll do it. You know what I'm talking about? When you reach that level where you want an answer and you're letting go of all your conditions about what the answer should be so you can receive it. Because that's the only thing that's keeping you from getting answered in the first place is all the conditions that the course has been set up. Like, I'm not going to hear it unless it's saying what I'm already thinking.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because, you know, unless you tell me what I'm already thinking, then you're not giving me an answer. And then it took me a minute to understand, but it's what I'm already thinking that's putting me in a situation where I need an answer. It's the way you're already thinking that's got you in the situation that you're in right now. The way I think is what's got me in the situation that I'm in right now. And there's some situations that I'm in that I really am enjoying myself, and it's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just proud of myself. It's like God is radiant in all its splendor. And then there are some areas that I use to punish myself for imaginary crimes that I never committed. So I'm going to cover, so what I want to do is I want to get really, really deep into the course. So today I'm going to cover a section that I've never covered, I don't think, in months. And it's called What the Course Says. It's on page X. At the very beginning of the preface. And because a lot of times people come to the Course in Miracles, and even after I've been studying for a while, I have to remind myself, well, what is this book saying? I'm trying to understand it, but because I don't know about you, but when I first started studying the Course in Miracles, I had an emotional reaction to it. I would get angry at it. I hate it. I get mad at myself because I thought I had a black belt in reading and comprehension. And I'd read something in that book and didn't know what the hell I was reading. You know, it was like it was insulting to my ego, and I get mad. I wish this was easier to understand. And I didn't realize that what I was doing was I was trying to fit the Course in Miracles into the way that I already think. And it's nothing like the way I already think, so it's giving me a really hard time because I'm trying to get it to be the way I think. So what I'm going to tell you is something that in order to hear this, we're going to have to exercise something really interesting today. We're going to try to open ourselves up to the possibility that we could hear something without feeling like we had it to believe it.
Okay.
If you will listen to this as if it's okay if you don't believe it, then you will allow me to get out what I have to say. And I promise you, if you let me get out what I have to say, it'll probably answer a whole lot of your questions that you've been wondering about for a long time. Like, for instance, and this makes my ego mad. Now, remember, everything I say may make your ego angry. Your ego is just the part of you that has learned to believe that it is a limited human being. The part that believes that it has lack or fear or anger or guilt. Whatever that part of you is, the Course calls that the ego. That's the ego. The ego is the you made up about yourself. Your ego is the conversation you having in your head all day about what's happening to you. That's your ego. It's that voice that's talking to you all the time. It's the voice that's talking to you right now while you're listening to me. That's your ego. It's not hidden. Does everybody have a voice that's going on in their head right now? A conversation is going, right, that's your ego. Hello, that's it. That's it. Okay, but I thought my ego was me. So the Course says, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists, and that's how you find peace. If you understand that anything that's real can't be threatened, and if it's not real, it doesn't exist. He said, that's how A Course in Miracles begins. The Course in Miracles is just making a fundamental distinction between what's real and what's not real. The Course in Miracles is trying to teach us how to tell the difference between when you know something and when you're just seeing something. The Course in Miracles is trying to teach us that there is knowing something and then judging something. That there's a difference between knowing me and judging me. And it's all, the Course says, now let me tell you how you can tell when you're dealing with the truth. He says, knowledge is truth. That means that knowledge is under one law, one love, one God. Knowledge is under one law, one love, one creator. Knowledge is under one law, one love, one creator. And then it says, if it's true, if it's the truth, it's unalterable. That means if you are giving me something that's true, and if you're giving me something that's real, it's eternal and unambiguous. If you're giving me something real, you're giving it to me all the time. Unless you're giving it to me all the time, it ain't real, and you're not giving it to me at all, according to this. And then it says, when it's the truth, you can recognize it, but you sure can't change it. Okay, if it's the truth, you can recognize it, but you can't change. Like, you might recognize me, but you can't change me. That's how you know I'm the truth. I can recognize you, but I can't change you, so you must be true. You must be real. That's why everybody in this room is real. Dang. I got some cool thoughts. As I look around this room, I realize I have a nice little thought garden going. And you know, y'all here so y'all can be water. And you're cute too. That's right. I'm in therapy right now for my perverted relationship to my plants.
That's why I'm here.
That's why I'm here, thank you. I'm sorry, I have fun on you in a minute. Oh, God, remember when you used to have fun? Remember when you was a kid and you didn't know, you just was having fun. You just be happy, you didn't even know why. I know you had a hard time. I know some of y'all really had a hard time. And when you look back on your childhood, all you see is the rough time that you had. But I'm here to tell you that the only reason why you're seeing only the rough time that you had is because that's all you're focusing on. And that you also had some cool times. I don't care how hard your childhood was. You had some things that went right for you sometimes. You had some smiles that did happen despite what you went through as a child. So the Course says that it's your focus that then upholds your perception of whatever it is you see. So as long as you focus on it, you're going to perceive it. So that's why you can't get rid of it until you realize there are other ways of perceiving. Look, the perception you're trying to fix, God told me to tell y'all to just leave it alone. Let it go. Don't try to go spend another moment trying to solve that problem. And you know what that problem is. Everybody has that problem. Okay, don't I tell you again, this is a message from God. God says to y'all, leave it alone. Don't try to fix your problem. Okay, then my fix-it bell just goes crazy. Let your fix-it alarm just go off. Yay! You know, if I don't fix it, how's it going to fix it? Okay, so that's your ego, right?
What do you mean by fix-it?
Anything you come up with to handle it.
So I'm quitting smoking tomorrow, so I should just keep smoking?
No, that's not your goal. Is it? Right? Your goal to quit smoking?
Well, I have to change why I smoke.
Which one you want?
I want to change the part that makes me need to smoke.
Okay. The way that you change that part to that makes you have the need to smoke is to realize that your need to smoke isn't going to get you what you want.
But it hasn't made a difference so far.
That's because you haven't truly realized it yet. You still think it serves some need that you're going to have. And I'll tell you what that need is. It's the reason why I would do anything that I tell myself I don't want to do is so I can stay in conflict. So that's the purpose of it right now. Right now, there's a part of you that wants to be in conflict because it's through feeling conflict that you see yourself as a separate individual. And because I'm in conflict, I'm separate from y'all because I'm going through my conflict. So conflict is a great way of making me think that I'm not one with you. So there's a part of the man that has an invested interest in keeping us in conflict so that we keep thinking we're separate and not joined. Okay, so it doesn't care what you use to keep yourself in conflict just since you stay in conflict. It's the conflict that the part of you that wants to stay separate needs in order to stay separate. You've got to have a reason to be in conflict with me to stay separate from me. So we need to understand there's a part of us that has one goal, and that's to always keep you in conflict. But that's not your whole self. That's just a part of you. That's just a thought in your mind. It really doesn't matter whether you smoke or not. What matters is whether or not you recognize your relationship with God. But once you get in touch with your relationship with God, all those questions that you're asking will be answered between you and God. And so will nothing go wrong. So the purpose of the course is to get us in touch with our source so that we can really release anything that we think is causing us conflict. That's why sometimes it's hard to talk specifically about like how I would help somebody stop smoking, because that's because really that's just a smoke screen to keep you from recognizing that you're the holy child of God and that you're innocent and that you're not a body, that you're spirit, that you're free, and that you're unlimited. The purpose of all that is to keep you focusing on something other than your true spiritual identity.
I know.
Right. And so we come together in this class so that we can remember who we are for an hour before we go back into forgetting. Because we're going to go out there, the veil of forgetfulness is going to come back down, and then most of this is going to seem real out there again, and we're going to forget most of everything we said while we were in here. So what I'm going to do is, a lot of times when you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer that will seem like it's not at all related to your question. And that'll be the real answer from this book. You know, but I'm telling you, once you recognize that you're totally innocent, there is no habit or addiction that will have any power over you. Because your peace will be so important to you that you won't let anything mess with your peace. And that's as far as you're going to go with it. If it doesn't bring me peace, then this is not something that I need to have in my experience. You know, it's the not feeling peace that's the problem. So the course is trying to get us to go to peace of mind, because it says the minute you have peace of mind, then you can hear what your inner voice is saying to you, because you can't hear it right now because you're busy listening to your own thoughts that you're making up every day. You follow me?
Yeah.
So the purpose of the course is to remove all the blocks inside your own mind that keeps you from listening to your real self, which is cool. And then once you get in touch with your real self will tell you specifically how to deal with your smoking issue. And it'll be individual to you. Would you be willing to have it happen? To get so in touch with yourself that you would be told what to do and it's right for you? Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody else, is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay, now I want to go through this. I'll take another question, but I want to try to get through this section because it's really powerful. It's really, 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 really powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say, how many in here, you know, today kids have all these problems and everything. How many in here remember hopscotch and hide and seek? Wasn't that a wonderful
time? Especially dudes doing hide and seek with the right person. it was all about who you was hiding and seeking with, right?
We're talking about like little kids.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what we talked about, isn't it? I don't understand. I didn't say anything other than all that matters is who you hide and seek with. So then it goes on to tell us that if it's something that God created, then it applies to everything, and only what God created is real. So anything that the truth created applies to everything equally. So anything that doesn't apply to all of us equally is not the truth. So anything that would make me think I'm different from you is not the truth. Okay, then it says, the truth, and this is obvious considering how well I've done, is beyond learning. It's like, oh, it's the truth. It is. Oh, it's, okay, I can't learn it. It's beyond learning. Okay. He says, because the truth is beyond time and the truth is beyond processing. So all the processing that you do never reveals the truth to you. And that's what frustrates us, because the truth is beyond time and processing, and we're used to time and processing. And then it says, if it's the truth, there's no opposite to it. If it's the truth, there's no beginning to it. And if it's the truth, there is no ending to it. If it's the truth, it just is. Now see, right there in that paragraph, the Course in Miracles told us every single thing we needed to hear about what the truth is. And really, the truth is simple if that's true. Isn't it? I made it a lot more complicated than that. Let me get this straight. If it's truth, it's unalterable, it's unchangeable, it's eternal, it can't be changed, it applies to everything, and it's beyond time and process. If it's the truth, it doesn't begin and it doesn't end. So nothing that I know in my perceptual reality meets those conditions. There's nothing in my perceptual reality that meets the conditions of truth according to what I just heard. And it's alarming to me to think that I'm living in an illusion.
Yeah.
But it would explain a lot of things. It might be alarming, but it sure would explain some stuff. Okay. And that's just one paragraph. That's what I'm saying. The book is a trip. You can take one paragraph and I can just go off for ages. I did a 3-day workshop one time on one section. And when I got through, everybody's butt was over the sofa. Literally. I was looking at a room full of butts. Okay. But that's the advanced class. Actually, it was at the point that everybody in the workshop tried to put their butt over the sofa, you know you joined. You know there's a level of safety there that you got into that childlike innocence where everybody plays without guilt. You know, it's like, there's no way in the world the way you think about me has really changed if you still behave in the same way you toward me you always have. Because the minute your perception of me changes, the way you're going to treat me is going to change automatically. So if I'm still treating people the same way I was treating them 20 years ago, I'm still feeling the same way about them I felt 20 years ago. Because I'm treating them the same way. I'm behaving the same way. You can always tell when a person changes their mind, because when they do, there'll be something about their behavior that'll be different. It really is that simple. Since we want to pretend we've changed even though we haven't changed, we want to believe that we've changed even though our behavior hasn't changed. So we're faking ourselves out. I've really changed. I know it's not exemplified by anything in my physical reality, but I really have. And the court is saying, no, as soon as you change your mind, your behavior will automatically change. You don't have to worry about your behavior all the time. If you're thinking differently, you don't have to worry about your behavior. That you don't have to. When you think differently about smoking, your behavior towards smoking will change. That's deep. That's really deep. You know, and the course would say, what you would say is, first of all, God, I like the correct perception of smoking. First thing I want to do is I want to see smoking correctly. I want to see smoking correctly. The course says you don't ever ask for the healing of the physical condition. You ask for the healing of your perception of it, because it's your perception of it that's wrong. It's your perception of it that's causing the problem. And it's hard for me to believe my perception is that strong. I think I have weak perception.
I thought that I looked at things differently after removing another substance. And then since I decided I need to quit for health reasons,
mm-hmm.
I've abused myself. I've mm-hmm. gone on a rampage to the gas stations of Denver.
Mm-hmm. I heard about
clearing out the cigarettes, like mm-hmm. quadrupling my smoking.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. do I really trust God?
Well, actually, it would be like, do you really want to quit smoking?
No, I really don't.
Right. Now, once you admit that to yourself, then that's when spirit will open up inside of you and you'll get the next answer.
That's
nothing I'm going to say to you, but what I can do is tell you that when you admit to yourself that you really want to smoke, Well, then there's no need to punish yourself about it. It's the punishment that we want. Just don't take the punishment away. Some kind of way. Please come to a conclusion, Earl, that some kind of way I got to suffer. This cannot end in such a way that I'm okay. I will not allow you to do that. I'm going to fight you tooth and nail as long as you're trying to make me okay. I'm going to come up with something else that says I'm not okay. And I'm telling you, right? Because the reason why I'm smoking is because I don't think I'm okay. And then smoking proves it, because I can't even keep my word to myself about what I say I'm going to do. It's another failure. It's another way for me to keep the conflict going. It makes me think I'm a body. It makes me forget my spiritual identity. It makes me think I'm separate from God. And all of a sudden, I'm just this person down here trying hard not to smoke, instead of an unlimited being that's total love, total joy, total peace. It's like we're so much bigger than the stuff we worry about that is absolutely ridiculous. We are so much more than the things we use to block our joy with. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So the first thing to do is to recognize that if I truly want to be happy, doing what I don't want to do is not going to achieve my goal. If I really want to be happy, doing what I don't want to do is not going to achieve my goal. But I'm telling you, I know I can create one question after another one, 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 after another one. That's why I have to stop and keep going after a period of talking. So I'm not trying to not be friendly, but I know I've talked this 25 years. And it'd be real easy for me never to get another sentence out of my mouth before this hour's over. Okay? It says, the world of perception, okay, first he told us what truth was. He told us the truth was something that never ended, the truth was something that never changed. Now he's going to tell us about the world of perception. He said there are two worlds. There's a truth world and there's a perceptual world. He said the world of perception, on the other hand, is the world of time, the world of change, the world of beginnings, and the world of endings. So if you are in the perception world, not the real world, but in the perception world, then you're in a world where it looks like there's change going on. You're in a world where it looks like things begin, and you're in a world that looks like things end. He says, so this is a world where everything is based on interpretation, not facts. This is a world where everything is based on the way anybody happens to see it. This is a world where everything is based on our interpretation of it. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody in here has got their perception right now of what I'm saying. And that's what the book is saying. You're not in the real world. You're in the world of perception. That's why you don't see nothing that something that's eternal. That's why you don't see things that never end. That's why you don't see things that stay the same no matter what in their love and their peace. He said there's a very logical reason why you're not happy completely. You're not in the real world. You're in the world of your perception. You're in the world that you're making up according to what you think and what you believe and what you learn. This is the perceptual world. And then the Course says, now let me, in case you still don't understand what I'm talking about, then it's a world of birth and death. It's a world where people believe that things can be scarce. The perceptual world is a world where it looks like you can lose. In the perceptual world, it looks like you can separate from things. And in the perceptual world, it looks like you can die. So he says the way you can tell that you're not in the real world is that you'll be in a place where it looks like there's scarcity, loss, separation, death, things are born, things die. It looks like everybody's got their own opinion. If you're in that world, then the Course is saying you're in a world of perception. You're not in the world of truth. You're not in reality. You're in a world that's based on your perception. So he says that means that you're in a world where you learned. That's true. I'm calling this an eyeglass because I what? Learned to call it an eyeglass. I'm calling this a book because I learned to call it a book. So I really am in a world where I'm looking at everything I learned. It's like the book says. That's what's the trip about the Course in Miracles. If you actually do the Course in Miracles instead of analyzing the Course in Miracles, you'll see that everything it's saying, you're experiencing it while you're reading it. So you don't have to wonder about if it's true, because you can have the experience of it. Like right now, it says that if you're in a world that's not real, if you're in a world of time or change or birth or death, or it looks like you can lose, or it looks like there's scarcity, it says, well, you're in a world of perception. You're in a world of interpretation. You're right. This isn't the real world that God created. You're right. He says if you're in the perceptual world, he says you're very selective in your perceptual emphasis. I think isn't that cute to say it that way? You're very selective in your perceptual emphasis. You know what I'm saying? It's like, in other words, there's a few things I really like to look at, and there's a few things I don't want to look at. There's some things I want to look at, and there's some things I don't want to look at. Is that true about y'all too?
Yeah.
Okay. See, we can experience it. We all experiencing it right now. Everything the book is saying, unless you're crazy, you'll agree with. You know, if you don't agree that it does look like you're in a world where you're looking at what you're looking at right now, you're crazy. How can you argue with that? What could you be looking at except what you're looking at? How can you argue about that? And the Course is saying that, well, you're in a world full of people who are looking at what they are looking at. And what they're looking at might not be what you're looking at. And so we're all in conflict about what we're looking at. And that's how we know we're not in the real world. Because in the real world, there's one law, which is love. And love lasts all the time. And there's not no fighting in it. And not no fear in it. And not no guilt in it. And not no, you know what I'm saying? If it's love, everything's cool. It's a matter. It's right. It's cool. Love, you're right. It's like, this book is saying this to me, and I'm like, I want to argue with it because I've never experienced it. Thank God. Thank God I didn't experience it before I was ready to receive it. I want to know what I'm looking for, so when it show up, I know it. I used to ask for stuff I didn't have the slightest idea what it would look like when it showed up. You know, give me the perfect mate. Well, you don't know what they would look like when they show up if you don't have any idea in your mind of what a perfect mate is. Just somebody with blue eyes. I want you to put your eyeballs. They're just gonna pluck their eyes out and go to bed with their eyes. I got a new book coming out called Assets. Tell you exactly what to do with them blue eyes. I'm running everybody away without a sense of humor. But y'all don't run too easy. I noticed that. Y'all like accept me for who I really am. I feel most natural and the most like my real self when I'm with you in these classes. But I guess the realest world I see all week is this one. You know what I'm saying? Then as soon as you leave out of here, them phonies start taking over, you know?
You're representing?
Yeah, all my representatives come out. You know, how many people know you and how many people know your representative? Mm-hmm. You know it's representatives that go out on first dates. You know, you send your representative, they send their representative, then y'all representatives like get back with y'all about, you know, what it solved, so y'all know that they're going to let y'all's real self come out and be vulnerable. So I'll show them the me that's not me before I let them see the me that is me, so they can fall in love with what's not me before the real me shows up. Then I get upset because they're disappointed in me. I want your representative. You just go away. Send your representative back. That's what I want. That's what I want, the representative. Because the real you, if it had been cool, you wouldn't have tried to hide it in the first place. So I know that you're trying to hide. I don't really need to hook up with it. Personally. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of being women's karma. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Yes. You know, I literally, they agree. Yeah, because, you know, the body you like the ass is going to come back talking about the ass, and the body you like the man is going to come back and say, you know, so you got all these representatives coming back giving you their report. And then you have to judge what part of them is very important. Like sometimes we're attracted to certain body parts, according to the course, that we can act out our particular form of fear. That's what he says. That's cold. Darling, would you go on with me tonight so I could act out my particular form of fear with you? Would you be willing to do that? Well, if I could go back with you and act out my particular form of fear with you, yeah, I got a book on it. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, this book is deep. This is the deepest book you ever want to read. And there's a part of you going to fight it every inch of the way. It'll drive you crazy. But mm-hmm. It drives you sane. You know.
That's good.
Yeah, it's like he said, the return of Christ, the return of Christ is nothing but the return of our common sense. I thought that was beautiful. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen written in the book. I was looking for, you know, you'd be looking for somebody coming down in the chariot. No, it's you having some sense again. This book is hilarious. People miss the humor. People miss the humor in the course. It gets so heavy. Don't look heavy. You look at the words and you go, oh my Lord, I'll never read that. I'm telling you, you can find used course books for a buck. It's the most popular used thing. Go to the used book place and you'll find some Course in Miracles at all times. You know what I'm telling you. So don't worry about it. You don't have the money. What I loved about the Foundation of Inner Peace was when I first got into the course in 1980, it was three big books, three separate books. And they were like, you like to write the publisher, and you go, I don't have the money. And they send you the book.
Really?
Yeah, they would send you the book anyway. You said you didn't have the money, they still send you. All you got to do is tell them you wanted and you didn't have the money, and they send you a book. And that just totally turned me on with the Foundation for Inner Peace, because I had never experienced anything like that before anywhere. So I knew that they must be about something real because they were expressing it. It was right there for me to see. I didn't have to guess about it. Just like right now, this is gonna get deeper. Let me go a little bit deeper in this, because this stuff is deep. Because we can't say anymore that we don't know the difference between what's true and what's not true.
True.
Yeah, it says. I mean, you know, so we can pretend that we don't know the difference, but now we do know. If it's true, you can't change it. If it's not true, you can. If it's true, you can. If it's true, you can't change it. If it's not true, you can. That's how you tell the difference between what's real and what's not real. If it's true, it was never born. If it's true, it never dies. If it's true, there is just one law, and that's love. If it's true. And so the Course is trying to teach us how to tell the difference between what's real and what's not real. That's all the book says it's trying to teach us, because we got them confused. Because we're used to being in the world of perception and change. So we want everything to be solved through perception and change. And so the Course says, okay, I'll give you a new perception and I'll give you a positive change. Since you need perception and change. And time. Also says, and you can use time to make yourself afraid all the time, or we can really use time to take you beyond time. Which one do you want to use time for? Do you want to use time to suffer, or do you want to use time to feel good? I ask again. Okay, all right. It's amazing we have to think about that, isn't it? Okay. So we need to understand then that if we're in a world of perception, then we're in a world of change, which means whatever situation you're going through right now that's causing you any kind of pain can be changed for the better. Any situation that you're going through right now that's causing you pain can be changed for the better. Okay, so the Course then says to us that if you are into knowledge, which is love, or if you're into perception, which is interpreting everything, which is fear, then that gives rise to two distinct ways of thinking. And they're opposite in every respect. So there are two ways of thinking that are totally opposite. Everybody with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay, then it says, when you're dealing with knowledge, you can't even have any thoughts that are separate from love. Because when you are in knowledge, you are sharing the one will of everything, that we all be in total love and happiness and joy. So when you're in knowledge, all you desire is complete happiness and joy for yourself and everything else. When you have knowledge. So anybody that's not looking out for you as much as they're looking out for themselves, they don't know anything.
That's what I've been trying to tell
him. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I tell you, one of my favorite science fiction movies when I was a kid was called Them. A movie called Them. To me, that said it all. He said, them. Y'all know about them?
Yeah.
All the them you've been considering to the point that you wouldn't be yourself and do what you really love. All them that you think about to keep you from being the self you really want to be. Y'all know them?
Yeah.
And don't forget their cousins. They. Don't forget they. How does it go? What will they think? Who are they?
Oh,
the them. Y'all are they. Y'all are them. I know that when y'all leave here, you think about my life all night long. I know all day long, all y'all think about is what I'm doing, right? If y'all would be honest with me, you'd have to say that's not true with you. So I believe that that's true of most people. I think most people aren't thinking about you. You're freer than you think. Because I have to really be thinking about you to want to stop you. Be thankful that most of the earth don't know you exist. Be glad. Mm-hmm. You're free.
Free at last.
You're free. You're free. The person that lives next door to you more than likely does not care who you went to bed with last night, or whether you went to work yesterday, or did you enter the garbage. I guarantee you they're not worried about that. They have freed you. The world has freed us. I'm telling you, we're down to the last 10.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I think so. I think both of you, if you all to be honest,
yeah,
your problems are seem to be caused by probably less than 10 people. If you just be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make up some more people if you was trying to, but if you just really be honest in terms of who's really bugging you, I bet you anything is less than 5.
How about 2?
Just one.
Just one. Most of it is just one. Most of it is just one. Just think, there's only one person standing between you and everything you want. You ought to be proud. There used to be armies. You know what I'm saying? There used to be armies. I'm serious. There'd be armies against you and armies against what you wanted. You know, now you're down to one person that you don't like that you probably choosing to be with. I don't see no manacles on nobody's ankles in the room.
Not only that, but my dead grandparents probably aren't thinking about me even.
She hated when that happens.
Yeah.
I hope they're not. I hope my grandparents are like kicking it up somewhere and having such a good time. It's unbelievable. Because
yeah.
I believe that when anybody's happy and I join with them in my mind, then their happiness filters into my life in the form that's best for me.
That kind of freaked me
out. Mm-hmm.
They're watching over you, I think.
Yeah.
The world is that place.
Yeah, I certainly hope my brother that passed on has more to do than to watch me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I hope he's not sitting around watching me. when my mother made her transition, it was more creepy to think of her being around me all the time.
Yeah.
Cause there were some things I was doing I didn't want my mama to see.
That's not
true. No, you know, so all of us have things that we would prefer that not everyone saw.
Yeah.
That's not a strange idea. So I'm telling you, the beings who are outside of the body, they see us with such innocence that they can't judge what we do. So we're the ones that's making ourselves feel bad about what we're doing. It's obvious that what's on the other side is not, simply because it's not attacking us in any way. It's just watching us attack ourselves, trying to tell us it's unnecessary. That's what the book is trying to tell us. I know you're attacking yourself, but it's entirely unnecessary because you haven't done anything. You just forgot how cool you are. You're living in a world that a created being creates who forgets how cool they are. Because you're a creator. So whatever you think about, you create. So you created a world that reflects the erroneous ideas that you have about yourself. You're looking at a mistake that you're living. When I don't love myself, this is what it looks like. That's what we're looking at. Wherever you're unhappy, you're going, when I don't love myself in this area, this is what it looks like. If you were to say that, it would free you from that perception. Because then you realize the perception is coming from you. But people won't do it. It's deep. I wouldn't do it. Just really go, man, this relationship I'm looking at is a relationship that I would have to experience if I was thinking incorrectly. Wow. So this is the way it works when I really don't love and I'm afraid. Oh, this is what my bank account looks like when I really think I'm separate from my source. Oh, this is what my body feels like when I feel guilty about what I do with it.
Well, how long does it take of that to do it? And because it sounds so simple, but I mean, I'm aware that I'm my problem. And that abusing myself with anything I can find is not self-love. But I meditate and do the things, and then it comes out again and again, and you make it sound like it's so simple.
It's not hard, it's just different. I'm saying you're doing too much.
Mike?
You're doing too much. You're doing too much. You're taking too much of a personal responsibility for your healing and leaving out your source. You were telling me what you do. You say, I meditate and I do this and I do that. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's cool. But now, it's time for you to let something be done for you and through you. It could be taken care of through you, for you. You've done everything you can do. You don't have the core sense, you can know that, because you've gotten to the point that you're beginning to believe that you are not what you thought you were. You see what I'm saying? That's why you wanted to improve your life. All of a sudden you begin to get, oh, I'm not what I thought I was. That's, well, the course says that's the highest level of consciousness you can be on. Don't let people fool you with that astral plane stuff. The highest level of consciousness you can be on is a level of consciousness where you're beginning to recognize that you may not be what you thought you were if you thought you were something less than something glorious. It's like you're showing the first glimmerings of getting in touch with the unlimited beauty that you are, to the point that you've taken your ego and you tried to perfect your ego as best you could. You meditated your ego and you put your ego in classes and, you know what I'm saying? You've been torturing your ego. You've been taking your ego to all the places the ego don't like to go. You'd be sitting up and they go, what are we here for? You know? It'd be your ego. It's like, going, how did I get in this class again? You know? That's your ego, right? And some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. So you've done as much as you can do. You're cooperating as much as you can cooperate. Now your higher self will start to take over and it will start to give you the answers through you that you're asking for. So just trust me on that. You're going to find that more and more your real self is going to start to talk to you now. You're going to start to get it more and more. The hardest part is the beginning, because it's at the beginning that you see how different your way of thinking is from the way you're trying to learn. That's what the Course says. He says that upsets you. He said that's how you can tell you finally seeing it, because one of the signs of enlightenment is that you be pissed off. So if you're walking around that way, you doing good. See people who are pissed off, they don't expect to ever hear that they're okay. Because I'm trying to make that wrong. You know what I'm saying? And then here comes a book that goes, oh, great, that means you're seeing the alternatives for the first time. That's why you're mad, because you know you deserve more than you're giving to yourself. That's why you're mad, because you know you're not treating yourself right. Good. You're on a great level of consciousness, because when you get angry at the way you've been treating yourself, you use your own anger to make you treat yourself better. You get so mad, you'll actually do what's best for you. All of a sudden, your anger is finally being used correctly, and you can stop trying to get rid of it, which you ain't never been able to do nowhere. You know, I want to learn how to be angry and be a master. I don't want any part of me to impede my progress. So I'm asking every part of me to somehow be used to take me where I want to go. Even my anger, even my fear, even my jealousy, even my insecurity. I now am enlisting you in my army. You drafted. You gonna serve my purpose of joy and peace in God too. Draft your enemy emotions. Don't let them waste no more of your time fighting with them. I'm so mad, I'm going to be rich. You know, I'm so angry at the way I've let myself be in my relationships in the past that I would never subject myself to a relationship like that again. I know I deserve more than that. See, I'm using my anger to take me straight to self-love. There's nothing you can come up with that spirit can't use to take you home if that's where you want to go. You got the golden ticket.
Thank you.
You got the golden ticket. You are the golden ticket. You just still looking for your special ticket taker. Is that right? Yeah, I'm looking for my ticket taker. The right one. I want the person that's going to take my ticket.
Don't
want to
give it to somebody.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man, wouldn't it be great to be around people that you didn't feel any defensiveness at all around? Felt like you could just be totally safe to be who you are and to say what you feel, and you know you're not going to be attacked for it in the future or limited by it. Wouldn't it feel so good to just have people around you that when you're putting yourself down, they just want to remind you how beautiful you are and how innocent you are? Yeah, you did screw up, but you're still cool, and there's a way out of it, and that's not the end, and you never come with a problem that's bigger than God. I'm sorry, your ego, it just ain't that big. And it's like, wow, I would love to have people like that in my life, wouldn't you?
Yes.
So I just got to be one.
Okay.
That's the catch. I knew it was a catch. Then you know it was a catch too. Oh, hell, I got to be one, huh? I want to be in the kind of world that no matter how loud I act, people treat me good. I want to be in a world that no matter how insane or violent or unruly or guilty or fearful I am met with love. I want to be in a world that if I killed 1 million people, I'd be met with love.
And call the 911.
In a world that I'd be met with love, I'd be healed. Whatever part of me that wanted to kill 1 million people would be gone. And I'd never want to kill 1 million people again. I'm glad that we don't respond to the phony stuff that we give to each other. That's how we keep from being lost in this world. We're never satisfied with what's less than what we deserve. That's why you're in a relationship and you want to get out of it. Because you know it's not what you deserve. Thank God for your dissatisfaction. It's the beacon that keeps calling you home and not letting you stay in some situation that you know you really don't like.
That was good.
That's the truth. And so if you're all dissatisfied right now, you ought to thank God for your dissatisfaction because it's keeping you from staying in a situation that's not your natural environment. If you were satisfied in something that wasn't good for you, then you'd be stuck and limited.
Spirit's happy when you're not satisfied.
Oh, spirit is ecstatic every time one of your plans fall. Because the sooner you return to spirit, the sooner you will fail in believing that you can figure it all out by yourself and do it by yourself, the quicker you'll turn to all the help that you have in the situation that you're going through is what the Course is saying to us. So if you feel like a failure right now, you ought to feel really good about yourself. Because you're one step closer to really calling on the real power to help you.
Cool. That's cool.
You gotta be a real conscious person to succeed in the world and maintain your awareness that it was your creator that was behind it. Because it's so easy when you're successful in the world to make yourself think you did it on your own. So it takes a lot more spiritual strength to enjoy the world and stay conscious than to be dissatisfied in the world and stay conscious. So you are really being prepared for the hardest test you'll ever have, which is the test of you being in the world happy and not forgetting who you really are and getting lost back in the dream again because you're so satisfied. Because when you're dissatisfied, you know you want to get beyond it. But when you're satisfied, there's a tendency to just want to forget and wallow.
If you're dissatisfied, you're really seeing truth.
If you're dissatisfied, then you're really seeing, that is all the proof you need that you're in an environment or a perception of an environment that's not true for you.
But you're seeing truth. You may not be listening to it.
But you're seeing it. And the Course says that the truth cannot be known, you know what I'm saying? That at this level, we have to recognize it, but you recognize it by recognizing what it's not. Mm-hmm. The Course says you recognize you can't be told really what love is, but you can be told what love isn't, and then that's how you know what love is. Like he said, love isn't fear, love isn't guilt, love isn't attack, love isn't sickness. Love isn't scarcity. You see, he says, you need to understand love is not what you're experiencing in this world. This is not love. Being in a place where you could lose the people that you love is not love. Being in a place where you could be run over by a car and killed or a loved one is not love. Being in a place where you run away from mosquitoes all summer is not love.
We'll never find it then.
Okay, I bet you can tell me what that voice was. Whose voice was that?
Well, that was my ego voice.
Thank you. Now, you know what's so cool about that? What did your ego voice tell you? It said, What did you just say?
Well,
I mean, what did
if
you just
I were
say?
The normal person, it would make me run out of here, because why would I come to something that's going to talk to me about such nonsense that I can never achieve anyway?
Okay, now, that perception that you just gave me will give you a corresponding world that will make that seem like it's true for you. And that's what the book is trying to get us to understand. That the part of you that just told you that is the part of you that's making up your whole world. It's that part of you that's saying you can't have that peace and that joy and that happiness. And then it creates a world for you that looks like you can't have that peace and that joy and that happiness. That's where it comes from. It comes from our totally being convinced that life has to be a struggle, it has to be painful, it has to be hard. The pain that you're coming from is coming from your belief in pain being necessary for you. And that's what the book is saying. Of course we're going to go off on that and not going to like to hear that. But the truth is, man is like, my pain is coming from me. 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 What I'm feeling right now is coming from me. The way I'm feeling right now in this moment, sitting in this chair, beating on my chest, is coming from me. The way you feel right now is coming from you, is not coming from me. The way you feel right now is coming from you. So you mean you making yourself feel the way you feel right now? I'm making myself feel the way I feel right now. I'm making myself feel the way I feel right now. I am making myself feel the way I am feeling right now. I am making myself feel the way I am feeling right now. I am making myself feel the way I am feeling right now. I am making myself, okay, those of you who are the doubters, well, who else is doing it? All right. Yeah. Hey, we know who's doing it. I mean, really. Who else is? If you're not, tell me how I'm making you feel what you feel. I just want to hear a person tell me that. Tell me how I am making you mad. You know your feeling about me is coming from you. You know your feeling about me is coming from you. You know it.
Mm-hmm. You're making me mad because you're telling me I can be happy and just have everything in the world, and I really don't believe it. So I'm really mad at you.
And you got a world that proves I'm a lie.
Mm-hmm.
See, all of us have worlds that prove them a lot. That's why a part of us, when we leave the Course in Miracles class, never wants to come back, because it looks like I've just been told a lie instead of the truth, which is I've just had a new perception introduced, because a new perception needs to be introduced before I can manifest it. But when you get a brand new perception, it isn't what you already believe. So a new perception usually brings up disbelief. That's stage one. It's a new perception, so I'll oppose it. It's a new perception, so I won't believe it. Because if I already believed it, I wouldn't need this new perception. So here's the new perception that I'm leaving with you. This is the new perception that I'm telling you. The new perception that I'm telling you is that what you are never changes. What you are is eternal. What you are is totally and completely free. What you are is love. What you are is unlimited. What you are is a creator. What you are never ends. What you are never ends. Now, that sounds like what you are never dies. What you are never dies. What you are never dies. What you are. But he already told us, in perception world, things do die. And in perception world, things are born. And in perception world, things change. And in perceptual world, everything goes through these different changes. So he's already told us. So you're in a perceptual world, so therefore you are in the world where things change. And so, therefore, are you willing to have your life experience changed for you for the best? Would you like time to be used to free you?
Yes.
That's what we got a choice for what we want to use perception for, and we're coming together to decide that we want to use our perception for a whole new purpose than what we used to use our perception for. I'm tired of using my perception to upset me. I'm tired of using my perception to keep me in fear and lack. I'm tired of using my perception to make me feel alone. I'm tired of using my perception to make me hold back and never really be the person I know I can be. I'm tired of my perception limiting me. I am ready for a new perception.
So the next time there is on the news 800 people die in a flood, what do I do to stay in truth?
What you would say is a lesson in the Course in Miracles that's going to be so hard to say. You have to be a spiritual giant to even say it. That's why you don't have to believe it, so you can say it.
Okay.
Okay? God did not create those 800 people dying, and so those 800 people dying is not real.
Because nothing that God created dies.
Because nothing that God creates dies. Now, you know what makes that difficult? You think you have to believe it. You think you have to believe that, don't you? To use it. It's like a part of a thing. For me to say that, or if you say it, that means you start taking the deaths of people very lightly.
Yeah.
And somehow or another, you just wouldn't be a good person anymore. Because in the past, I took people down very heavily.
Right.
And somehow or another, that made a difference. It's like my completely eliminating the possibility of that person having an unlimited being and unlimited life. Somehow or another, my killing them off forever, that has made me a more loving person. So I should be the person that's always moaning and groaning about everything that's happening, because somehow or another that's improving the situation. Rather than being a being that goes, I'm going to focus on the power of all of these people that seem to be going through all of these problems, and focus on the power that is in them coming out to heal this situation and to heal them. I'm going to see the starving people in Africa as being unlimited spiritual beings beyond anything that you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing them a lot of good, feeling sorry for them, and still not even sending over care packages, just feeling sorry. Because that somehow has helped the situation and makes me a better person. So if you're not going to send a care package, at the very least, see them as being unlimited powerful beings that are capable of somehow or another allowing an answer to come for them to heal their situation. If you're not going to send a care package, at least send them a positive, loving, powerful thought. But I just didn't do that. I just sit back, oh, poor people in Africa, and still didn't do that. And I really thought, oh, I'm a good person. Why am I feeling sorry for the poor people in Africa today? Well, I'm sure that fed a family of six. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hated this book because this book wouldn't let me hide. It wouldn't let my ego hide. And my ego stuck around so well because it could hide so good. The part of me that hurt me was so good at hiding from me that it would work its game on me all the time. And I didn't know it was me working the game on myself. And I was mad at everybody else, blaming them, trying to have therapy to forgive them.
This is hot.
All right, let's take a breath. I'm going to bring this old train on in. It's 3 minutes to two. I don't know how in the heck that happened, but it happened. Take a breath. Isn't it a trip? Isn't it a trip how we feel?
You're a trip, bro. That's good.
I am a trip. I count on everybody in my life being a trip. I just want a really cool trip. I used to have other kinds of trips with people. I want some cool trips. I want to go on some cool trips. Anybody else want some cool trips?
Yeah.
Cool trip. Da da dun dun da dun dun. Cool trip. That's what I want. I'm in the first class section of the cool trip. I'm flying first class in the cool trip. Do you know that there's another perception out there that's available to you in another life that goes with that perception that's beyond your wildest dreams and joy? It's just a perception away.
Wow, that's cool.
It's just a
perception
away. Okay, I'm going to do the love offering now, and thank you for sharing with me. Because how I allow my income to come in to take care of myself in the world is through teaching. And so God gives to me through the people that appreciate what come through me. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you so much. This section is an awesome section. I'm going to continue to go through that section. Next Sunday, there's going to be another teacher here. I'm going to be in Memphis. And I love to listen to her perception of the Course in Miracles and how she explains it and sees it and does it. It's Stephanie. Her name is Stephanie Padilla. And so, if you'd like to have an opportunity to hear the Course again, but also really in another cool way, it'd be great. I'd love it if you would come and check her out. She'll be doing the Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday class of this coming week.
Did
Does she charge a fee?
It's just like it is now. She's teaching for me. She's doing this for me. But I would love you to give yourself this treat. But she has a different style from me, and she approaches it in a way that's very helpful to me. That's totally different too. But it's cool.
I just had a shift of perception. I had in my daytimer Earl Links. No Course in Miracles.
Uh-huh.
Then I had Earl Back. Course in Miracles.
Uh-huh.
I just shifted my perception.
Cool.
And I'm going to be open and willing to come and hear Stephanie.
I wish you would. I mean, she's cool.
I am.
She's cool.
She is church worthy.
She's cool. She's just like, she brings it down there just like that.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I forgot my love offer.
Okay. So let's bless the love offer. And I'd like to thank you for sharing. And I'll start over here and to save some time. I'll see the other one up in here.
Go, Judy. Go, Judy.
While that's happening right quick, two distinct ways of thinking that go with it. And that's the only thing you need to remember when you get out of here, and that there's another world of perception that goes with this other way of